Hello, Fast Fluency Formula members. This is Aaron, and I'm now going to talk about some of the words and phrases that Dan and I used in our conversation about individuals that kind of go against the flow. So here we go. Actually, at the very beginning of the conversation, Dan and I mentioned about six different idioms all in a row. And the reason we do that is because we're playing a little bit with the language, and all of these idioms are related. So Dan starts the conversation by saying, AC, you feeling rebellious today? And basically, AC means Aaron Campbell. That's a nickname, AC. And he says, are you feeling rebellious today? That's his way of saying hello. So I took that to mean, hello, how are you? And I said, I'm okay. And I said, not particularly rebellious. I'm just sort of hanging in there. And then Dan says, just hanging in there, going with the flow. And I said, yeah, going with the flow, doing my thing. Right? Dan says, keeping your head down. And I said, yeah, pretty much, keeping my nose to the grindstone. And then Dan says, living the life. So this is full of all kinds of idioms and phrases here. And they all are very similar in this context in the sense that they are all answering the question, how are you? And the answer is, I'm okay, but I'm not great. I'm not bad. I'm not great, but I'm okay. So when you're hanging in there, I'm hanging in there, she's hanging in there, it just means that, you know, life is full of struggles and we're doing our best to keep everything together and stay in the flow of life. We're hanging in there. And another way to kind of say that is to go with the flow. Go with the flow has a little bit more of a positive meaning. It just means I'm not worrying about anything. I'm going with the flow. Whatever happens, I'm gonna take the path of least resistance. I'm gonna flow with the stream of life. And I said, yeah, just doing my thing. How are you? I'm doing my thing. Just doing my thing. I'm living my life. Nothing special. I'm doing things that I want to be doing. I need to be doing. Nothing special to talk about. I'm just doing my thing. Keeping your head down. Keeping your head down kind of has a little bit more of a neutral to slightly negative meaning. When you keep your head down, it's because you don't want people to see you. So when you keep your head down, you're not attracting attention to yourself. You're focused maybe on your own issues and your own problems, and you don't really want to talk about it with anyone. You're keeping your head down. How are you? Well, I'm just keeping my head down. I'm keeping a low profile. I'm staying out of the limelight. I'm not attracting attention to myself. I'm just doing my thing, going with the flow, hanging in there. And I'm keeping my nose to the grindstone. Now, a grindstone is like a stone that spins, and it's very circular. And you can use it to sharpen knives, sharpen very hard things like metal. And so in order to sharpen a knife to a grindstone, you need to hold it at just the right angle. And if you do, the stone will wear down the metal in a way that makes the blade very, very sharp. So it takes concentration. You cannot have your attention distracted. You have to keep your nose right, you know, on that grindstone, pointed right at it, watching carefully what you're doing. And so when you use this idiom, I have my nose to the grindstone, it means I'm concentrated on my life, on doing the things that I need to do. I'm not being distracted by anything. I've got my nose to the grindstone. It has a connotation of working really hard and being really focused and not being distracted. So these are all idioms that you can use to respond to the question, how are you? And they have kind of a very colloquial, sometimes playful feel, especially the way that Dan and I use them. And you can use these anytime you want. It just means I'm okay. I'm not great, but I'm not bad. I'm okay. All right, so moving on. We're talking about ankle bracelets. And I asked Dan, have you ever worn an ankle bracelet? And he says, you mean like a decorative ankle bracelet? And of course, we're talking about the ankle bracelets that criminals wear when they've been convicted of a crime for the purpose of house arrest. And so Dan's kind of making a joke here because there are other types of ankle bracelets, the kind that a woman or man might wear that are for decorative purposes, for fashion. And I answer, I'll leave that up to you to interpret, up to you. I'll leave it up to you. So up to you or up to him or up to me or up to us. It just means it's our choice. It's his choice. It's my choice. So I'm telling Dan, it's your choice. If you want to interpret it that way, go ahead. If you want to interpret it another way, that's up to you. That's your choice, right? What do you want for dinner? Oh, I don't know. I have no desires. I'll leave it up to you. It's up to you. What do you want, right? What's your choice? You just do whatever you want. It's up to you. Where do you want to go this weekend? Oh, I don't know. I've been many places recently. I'll leave it up to you. You choose, like this, okay? It's up to you. All right. Oh, and also, you know, you can use this in a negative way. You can say it's not up to me. Like maybe there's a guy named Bob who's applying for a job at my company and he has an interview and someone asks me, hey, Aaron, do you think Bob will pass the interview? And it's like, well, he might pass it. He might not. I don't know. It's not up to me. That's up to someone else. That's up to a committee of people who hire. I'm not involved in that. It's not up to me. If I were on that committee, I would hire him. He's a great guy, right? But it's not up to me. All right, the next one is goes against the grain. Goes against the grain. We're talking about this asteroid named BZ, which flies in the opposite direction of all the other asteroids. And I say, yeah, there's always going to be something that goes against the grain in nature that doesn't follow the normal protocol of what we would expect. So goes against the grain. The reason I point this out is, you know, it's just yet another idiom that means the same as goes against the tide or goes against the flow. It's something that is acting in a way that is opposite from everything else around it. It goes against the grain. And in this particular idiom, grain is referring to the grain of wood. Like if you cut a piece of wood, it has a certain grain to it, kind of a direction that things flow. And so if you move your hand across the grain in the direction that is smooth, then you're going with the grain. But if you move it in the opposite direction, you're going against the grain and you can get a splinter, right? A very thin piece of wood that sticks into your skin like a needle. This is very also similar to another idiomatic expression, to rub someone the wrong way. If you imagine petting a cat, and you start from the back of the neck and you move to the base of the tail, it's very smooth and the cat feels very comfortable. But if you move your hand in the opposite direction from the base of the tail towards the back of the neck, the cat gets very uncomfortable and can even bite or scratch you. Okay, you're rubbing that cat the wrong way. You can rub people the wrong way by saying things that they don't like or acting in ways that cause them to become upset. So anyway, going against the grain, going against the tide, going against the flow. The next one is falling apart. I asked Dan, how about you? You know, what are you doing? Are you focused on your body or are you focused on your mind these days? And Dan's answer is, oh, I'm just falling apart. And I complete this little idiom by saying at the seams, because often we do say falling apart at the seams. Of course, seams is the location where two pieces of material, usually a cloth, comes together and is sewn together. That's the seam. So if you're wearing a shirt, the shirt has seams where different pieces of it are sewn together. And you can see those. And so sometimes when a shirt comes apart due to damage or if it's very old, the seams will start to give way and they'll crack and you'll see cracks in the seams. So basically, you can probably figure out the meaning of this. It just means I'm not doing that well. Life is difficult. I'm finding it a struggle to keep things together. I'm just falling apart. I'm having a difficult time. I'm falling apart at the seams like this. So you could answer the question, how are you? By saying, oh, I'm falling apart, right? And it just means I'm really struggling. I'm having a hard time. Someone who loses their mental composure could fall apart. So maybe, again, we could go back to a situation where a person is having an interview at a job and they're doing very well, but then suddenly they make a mistake and then they fall apart. They start saying crazy things or they get upset, and that's not good. Or maybe a relationship, like a friendship or a marriage, can fall apart at the seams. Maybe it's good for a while, but then after some time, certain problems take place and emotions run high and the relationship sours. It turns bad and it falls apart at the seams like this. Have you ever had a relationship that fell apart? Do you sometimes feel like you're falling apart? Sometimes I feel that way. Life is difficult. It's not easy for everyone. We sometimes just fall apart at the seams. All right, the next one is scraping by. So if you're falling apart at the seams in your life, maybe you're just scraping by. And if you imagine, the verb scrape means to kind of rub against in kind of a painful or damaging way. If you are running on the sidewalk or on the street and you fall and your elbow rubs against the concrete or the asphalt, you'll get a scrape, or maybe your knee will get a scrape, and it'll be a little bit bloody and painful. That's a scrape. So if you're scraping by in life, it kind of means you're really struggling, right? Maybe you're falling apart, you're scraping by, you're doing your best, but you're just dragging yourself along the ground and wounding yourself in the process. It's not a very positive image. You're just scraping by, you're doing the best you can, but it's not going very well. So Dan uses hanging in there again. He says, yeah, you know, I'm hanging in there, but it's hard. It's not easy like this. A little bit later, we use a different, phrase here, and this is actually humor. And I point it out because I'm not sure if people understand this as humor or not. This is when we're talking about, how being ignorant is actually maybe a sign of wisdom. The more you become aware in life, the more you realize how much you don't know, and therefore maybe that's a sign of wisdom. So we're kind of joking about how ignorant we are. And then I say, yeah, we need to be more dumber. Be more dumber. And of course, to everyone, that is a grammatically incorrect statement. But the reason I speak it in a grammatically incorrect way is because I'm trying to do that for a comedic effect, like a comedy. Because, you know, if I'm saying that we should be more ignorant and ignorance is associated with being dumb, then we should be dumber, right? Not more dumber, that's grammatically incorrect. But I'm using a grammatically incorrect phrase to kind of illustrate the fact that we need to be dumber, because dumber people or dumb people would make many grammatical mistakes. So that is a grammatical mistake made completely on purpose for effect of meaning. Okay, whether it's funny or not, I don't know. A couple more here. Do yourself in. We're talking about Socrates, and Dan says, would you have taken the hemlock? And I said, you know, a few lines later, I say, I wouldn't want to just do myself in. I would want to fight and stay alive. And so to do yourself in, as you may very well guess, means to kill yourself, right? To do yourself in. Do you know anyone who's ever done themselves in? I knew a guy named George. He got really depressed because he was diagnosed with a terminal illness, cancer. His wife died, and one of his children had an accident, and things were not going well for him. He had an alcohol problem, and eventually he did himself in. He killed himself. There's not much we could do to help him. And finally, I kind of like this phrase, to each his own. again, we're talking about doing themselves in. And Dan says, you know, like, why do you think Socrates did that? And I said, you know, I don't know. I don't know why he would do such a thing. But hey, to each his own, I suppose. So this is a phrase that you can use. It's an idiom you can use when you disagree with someone's opinion or action or their lifestyle, perhaps. You respect their freedom to have their own opinions, their freedom to have their own values and beliefs, even though you don't necessarily agree with them. Let me give you a few examples. I know a guy who, for some reason, he loves watching bowling on TV. Anytime there's a bowling tournament on TV, he turns it on and he watches the whole thing. That's not for me. It's kind of fun to bowl, but to watch it, for me, that's just boring, you know? But hey, to each his own, to each his own. He's perfectly fine doing that. He's not hurting anybody. That's what he loves to do. It gives him some kind of satisfaction or pleasure. Great. That's wonderful. It's not for me, but to each his own, right? He's welcome to do that. When it comes to beliefs, you know, some people believe in God and other people don't believe in God. And I say, hey, to each his own. As long as we're not hurting each other, as long as we're treating each other with respect, who cares what we believe in? That's your choice to believe in whatever you want to believe in, to each his own, like this. Okay, that brings us to the end of this commentary. I hope you found some of these explanations and examples useful. And please do ask questions if you have them. The forum is a great place to do it. Of course, you can also email us at members@deepenglish.com.